You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and I'm here with Jay Gonzalez, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Jay, at some point, I'm hoping this turns into a Dallas episode, and we're all just dreaming that 2020 is just a bad dream because God. it continues to trend badly.
It's just getting worse every day, and I don't know. I mean, we're trying to stay optimistic, and you know, listening to the good pieces of it. But there's a lot of, you know, today's been one of those kind of a grim days that doesn't give you a lot of hope for where we're headed. At least as it relates to sports, as it relates to, you know, kids getting on campus to go to college, as you know, schools opening, all of those things. It's just terrible.
Yeah, no question. And we continue here. Clemson had 14 more tests, 37 total. You said they were trying to spin it like,
well,
what?
They're trying to spin it that, you know, the athletes, you know, that they're catching it, the athletes aren't, you know, they don't have symptoms and they're quarantined, and then they're, you know, that they're safe because they're put in places. None of the people that have gotten COVID over there have been hospitalized.
Yeah.
So that kind of stuff. So right. It's kind of like what we've been talking about. We're finding out people are getting it, and then they're dealing with it. So I think the NBA reported that there were 102 players got tested, and 14 turned up positive.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, that's 15% almost. So that's, well, 14. So, you know, it's, they got to work with it. But then, you know, Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, came out and said, you know, we got to get used to the fact that this is a part of it.
Right.
The virus is going to be a part of life, a part of business, mm-hmm. a part of what they're trying to do. And they got to figure out ways to deal with it rather than expect that it's going to go away.
Free and clear.
Which makes a lot of sense.
Right. No question. And how they handle that, that's going to be expected. And that happens in a month. With this,
yeah, they just announced their schedule. All the 22 teams that are going to continue to play are all going to play 8 games to set up seeding for their NBA, their playoffs. So, and those games are going to start July 30th. You know,
could so, I know this is a dumb question because I know the answer to. Could we see Alonzo Trier on one of those teams? I don't think so.
I read that he could play in the seeding games because he just got released.
Right.
He could get picked up and play in the seeding games, but then would not be able to play in the playoffs. And who knows what's written in the
right
contract that goes with this. But so, you know, bad news for him to be released today, mm-hmm. at, you know, right at the, you know, door of when things are going to get started again. But unfortunate for him. And Kadeem Allen, I guess, well, you know, another U of A guy was released a couple of days ago. So yeah. So you got a couple of Arizona guys unemployed right now.
So I guess the statement for releasing Alonzo Trier was that he did not play as a team player. And he didn't work on his catch and shoot enough. No duh.
I'm shocked.
No duh.
I'm shocked. You know, there were a lot of things that were said about him, you know, after he left.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly, you know, what happened in the late stages of that unfortunate loss to Xavier. But, you know, he was trying to get to the NBA.
Sure.
And he got there.
Sure.
So he got what he wanted. He's had a couple of years there. He played a lot over 2 years.
Made some good money.
Yeah. But, you know, for somebody to say that he's doesn't fit within the team system, I'm shocked. I don't know what to say.
Tomorrow we're going to learn that the water's wet,
right.
And Tucson's hot.
And you can knock me over with a feather.
Right, right. But you know what? You're right. Let me ask you something. As you were saying that, I was thinking, does Alonzo Trier and Khalil Tate's situation, are they a little similar?
I don't know.
In the me, and I don't know if Khalil Tate's a me, but it kind of smells like it to me.
I'm not so sure because I, you know, in football, you know, Khalil Tate wasn't going to go anywhere that his team wasn't going to take him, and in college basketball, you cannot give the ball to Lauri Markkanen. Because,
oh, sure.
You know, you can just do that because you can. So I think it's a little easier to be that guy. But, you know, Khalil Tate needed to have there are more pieces that Khalil Tate needed to be successful. So.
But he wanted to be that guy who threw the ball. And you're thinking, don't throw the ball. Do what you do.
Do what you do. Right. So it's hard to say. I'm not so sure. I see that comparison. You know, just the way things ended with both of them, though. You didn't like the way that things ended with both of them.
Right, because there was some obvious factions or friction or something.
Something.
That just didn't smell right or feel right.
Right, yeah. And so, yeah. So,
yeah. Let me ask you, along those lines, your coach here, and we're going to have Ron Hassey here. Right. He's been a coach, so we'll talk about that. But if you have a talented kid and you knew that there was some bad seed in him, would you take him?
You know,
and you were a coach.
I'm one of those guys that if a guy's not going to be a team player, he's not going to play for me. Very simple.
Will he be on the team?
He might be on the team, but he's going to have a tough time getting on the field or the court if he's not going to be a team player.
So do you think you could change that guy?
I don't know if you could change him, but you certainly could say you're not playing if you don't.
Yeah.
You can give him, I mean, the change has got to come within the player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I fortunately don't recall ever having anybody like that. You know, I mean, I coach high school baseball and I coach high school softball. You know, I wasn't in college or anything like that. And at the school that I coached at, you know, we took all athletes.
You played, yeah.
We were a small school, and if you were athletic, you could play. Mm. But we didn't have any of those kids. Mm-hmm. You know, there really weren't any kids that we had experience with where you thought, you know what, I don't want that kid on this team.
Sure.
We didn't have any of those. But I do feel that me as a coach and the type of coach that I was, the type of person that I was, and the way I look at sports, if I do have that guy, he's going to have a tough time. He or she is going to have a tough time getting on the court, getting on the field, if they're not going to be
team players,
a team player,
yeah,
be part of the team.
That's the number one thing I think that coaches have to deal with. You love the talent, but if they're a pain in the neck, you just don't want that talent.
Yeah, you just don't. It's just hard. And you know, teams that succeed, in large part, succeed because they're together as a
no
team.
No question.
I mean, there's no
question.
I mean, that's proven over and over and over again. There have been teams that, not just at Arizona, but everywhere, pros, college, wherever, that have had outstanding talent, have had the best talent on the field or the court every time, and they don't get there.
No question. Well, you mentioned your team yesterday, the 88 team, a bunch of Band-Aid put-together teams, and guess what happened?
They win a World Series.
How do you explain that?
Because that team was really bad.
Yeah.
You know,
you've
seen
it.
I mean, if they would have had to play with that team the entire year, and that's a last place team.
Let me put this to the people's attention, who the two people are listening right now. 97. This team was not supposed to win that team. It was supposed to happen in 98.
Right. That was up to that point, that was Lute's worst team since his first team.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
they finished fifth place in the league.
Mm-hmm.
But they had an impressive early season non-conference schedule, got themselves a number four seed, and boom, and it happened.
Right. Miles had come back from his situation, and everything was...
So, yeah, no, people, I think a lot of people forget about that team, I mean, they got swept at the Oregon schools, I believe.
They lost their last two of the regular season?
Yeah, at the end of the regular season, there was no Pac-10 tournament at that time. And then they went off and won the national championship. Explain that to me.
Right. No, you can't. It's sports. That's why you got to love it.
It is. I'm looking forward to having Ron Hassey. He's going to come on. We're going to talk. Oh, he's had such a long sports career.
Right.
I don't know how we're going to fit it all in, but there's a lot of stuff I want to cover with him.
And run the gamut from coaching to playing.
You know, he was a state high school baseball champion, college baseball champion, World Series champion. He's been a coach. He's been a player. He's had kids who played. Holy cow.
Right.
Looking forward to talking to him.
Yeah, no, kind of like a player's dream.
Yeah.
You get to do a lot of different things.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of people don't get to do what he's done.
Oh, and, you know, I mean, his dad played at Arizona. He played at Arizona. His son played at Arizona. Those kinds of things don't just have those. That's genes right there.
I was just going to say.
That's just genes. Nothing but.
Didn't the Howells or like have that? You know what I'm talking about?
Now, Jack Howell played.
Jack Howell
at
and his
the U of
son,
A.
His dad played, I think, too.
Well, and his son, now his son Dallas, I coached with him.
Oh, really?
I don't remember if he played college somewhere.
Okay, let's go. Tom's ready for us to take a quick break here and talk to Ron Hassey on the other side.
There's a place in our house.
For 70 years, Benjamin Supply has been keeping Tucson flowing. Hygiene is our business. We help you achieve extreme clean. Minimize germ spreading with a hands-free sensor faucet. Forget the paper panic with a washlet seat. And speaking of waterworks, a big thanks to plumbers for their essential efforts during this health crisis. Shop our downtown showroom by appointment. Call us at 777-7000 or see all the products online at BenjaminSupply.com.
Thanks to Benjamin Plumbing Supply.
These days, most families are concerned with having the right insurance coverage. Protecting your family, home, auto, and other valuable possessions can be challenging and sometimes expensive. Crest Insurance gives you flexible options and solutions while saving you money. Insurance is not one size fits all, and at Crest, we find the coverage that's best for you and your family. Visit us online at www.crestins.com or call us toll-free at 888-881-5765.
With the reopening of the economy, it's back to business for Tucson, and there's never been a better time to advertise. You've probably been considering it for a while, but there's a lot of questions. At 1030 The Voice, we can help you every step of the way, from creating an effective and affordable advertising schedule to crafting your message to creating the perfect commercial. With our Addy Award-winning production department, call General Manager Patty Ruiz at 791-7208 and let 1030 The Voice get to work for you.
In these extraordinary times, 1030 The Voice would like to salute our American heroes.
Of course, we thank first responders and health workers.
But we also recognize workers in the food service industry, the people manning the front lines in our grocery stores.
And from food delivery people to the drivers getting goods to stores.
We thank you. We couldn't do it without you. 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez. And now on the phone, we have former Major Leaguer and World Series champion, Ron Hassey. Ron, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Great to have you on the show.
Ron, where are you? Are you here in Tucson? What are you up to?
I've never left Tucson. I was born and raised here, and I left during the baseball season, but I always returned. I've lived here all my life.
Well, that's great to hear. So, well, you know, I want to talk to you a little bit about, you know, some of the stuff going on right now. Put yourself in the shoes of, you know, a baseball manager, a coach, maybe a ball player, and what they're going through right now with, you know, trying to figure out, are we going to play? Are we not going to play? You know, what's going on? I mean, where would you be in terms of, you know, just how you would feel about all that's going on right now?
Well, you know, I think it's a very tough situation, especially for the coaching staffs, the players really also, but trying to assemble a team and to be able to play 60 games, and I'm not so sure if they're going to have fans or no fans at all, but it's going to be different, no question about it, but I guess they've got it all figured out.
Are you glad you're not having to be a part of this?
Well, sort of. Yeah, I think it's going to be a really tough situation for everybody, especially with the traveling and a short season like that too. Anything can happen, but yeah, I'm kind of happy I'm here in Tucson.
You haven't coached, I think, for about 7-8 years. Is that right? Do you miss being part of that?
You know, I really enjoyed being around the players, and I enjoyed managing in the minor leagues, seeing players advance up to the major leagues, and then following them on to their career. But right now, I don't really miss it at all. It was a grind. I got really tired of traveling, and it was about time for me to hang it up too.
So as you look back, I mean, you've had a career. I mean, just before the break, you know, Steve and I were talking about, you know, state baseball champion, college World Series champion, World Series champion. I mean, you've run, you know, your career as a baseball player, holy cow. I mean, you know, where do you start? But when you think back on your career, you know, what were the best times for you? You know, were they in the major leagues? Were they in college? I mean, what's the best part of your baseball career?
Without a doubt, the best part of my baseball career was playing at the University of Arizona and winning the national title in 1976. That was, thank God I didn't sign in 75. I was drafted by Kansas City that year, and I wasn't a real high draft pick, and we negotiated a little bit, and nothing came of it, and I went back to college, and we ended up winning the College World Series in 76.
Okay, so I've been dying. I'm glad you brought that up, because I've been dying to ask you this, because I was I'm about to age both you and I, okay? So I was in high school at that time. I was at Saguaro High School, but, those three teams, the 74, 75, and 76 teams were, I mean, three of the most amazing teams. You guys weren't so great in 75, but at 74 team, they lost four regular season games and kind of didn't do so well when you got into the playoffs. But then the 76 team wins the College World Series, but you lost seven games in a row to ASU in the 76, and then you only had to beat them once in order to get to the championship. I mean, walk me through when you guys were having to go play ASU for the eighth time, and they've beaten you seven times, and now you need to beat them to get to the championship game that year.
Well, you know, it was really tough during the season, losing to them. And I mean, we really never got really blown away. I mean, there were some close games there, but you know, we get in the first game we played with them in the College World Series, we end up losing that game, and it was really set us back. We really felt like we were in the game. We thought we were going to win that game, and it just didn't happen. And then to come through the losers bracket and then have to meet up again against them, I guess it was our turn to win.
Well, we talked about that. Do you believe in destiny? A lot of things have happened for you in destiny.
Well, I think a lot of us guys just pull together, really. You get beat down like that, and it was kind of like, hey, we're not going to lose another game to these guys. And it just happened.
Just one quick question. You haven't been in the game for a while, but I asked this question to all the guys that come on who were players. Do you miss – competitors must miss being competitive. Do you do something else to kind of maybe stay competitive?
Well, yeah, I play golf.
So Jay wants a part of that, I think.
Are you any good?
I'm not bad. But I do play quite a bit of golf, and I've been getting into trap shooting, and that's about it right now. The way things have been going, mostly staying at home.
Staying on your baseball career. So at that time, you know, you were a pretty darn good hitter. I think in your sophomore year, you led the team in hitting. But there was a guy named Dave Stegman on that team. Who was the better hitter?
Who was a better hitter?
Yeah.
Well, you go back when you started to say about the 74, 75, 76 team, where there was no question that the 74 team had the best talent of all those three teams. We just happened to get in a little funk over there against Northern Colorado and end up getting knocked out before we could even get to the World Series. That 74 team was really good. Dave Stegman was probably that freshman year that Jerry Kendall recruited all of us. Dave was the only one that made the varsity team as a freshman. The rest of us were pretty much down in what you call freshman team that year. But Dave Stegman was some kind of player. Boy, he could play center field. He could run. He could do just about it all. Who was a better hitter? Well, no question, I was.
I was going to say, you're talking to him.
I love that. So let me ask you. So you go into professional baseball. I spent a few years in the minors, but when did it hit you that I'm going to make it to the major leagues? I'm going to get there. When did that hit?
I told myself I was going to give it 3 years, and that's it. And I got lucky. I get drafted by Cleveland. Cleveland really didn't have much of a minor league system. I moved up there really quick. After my second year, I got called up for a couple of months. Didn't do real well. got sent back down. Kind of figured things out, and the next year got sent back down, and then I got called back up, and that pretty much was it.
And that was that.
You know, it was just a learning process for me, especially when I got to the major leagues. The first time I was a little bit over my head, probably. Having those 2 months and then being sent back down, you kind of worked on things that you needed to work on, and things worked out pretty well after that.
You were a coach, and you saw the local kids got drafted last week or have signed now this week, the Gonzalez kid and the Wells kid. What are they up against, these young guys?
Well, tell you the truth, those guys, you know, being first-round pick and a high first-round pick, they're going to move quickly. I would think that the Gonzalez kid would probably go to Double A right away and probably spend a year, maybe 2 years, and then get called to the big leagues. I mean, they're spending a lot of money on him, so
$5.4 million.
They're not going to spend a lot of time in the minor leagues.
right.
And he's had success in college. You know, it's just learning to play every day. That's pretty much what it is. And making the adjustments that you need to make. Those are the big factors right there.
We're going to take a quick break here and come back on the other side. Talk more about your history at U of A, your Tucson connections, obviously, and your World Series. I think that Jay has some Oakland A's questions for you here on the other side. Let's take a break here on 1030 The Voice.
Stick around, Ron. Thanks.
Okay.
For nearly 7 decades, Hughes Federal Credit Union has been there for its members through good times and bad. We know that by working together, we can achieve great things, like addressing your financial needs during these times and beyond. Bank locally with Hughes, selected by Forbes as one of the best in-state credit unions for 2 years in a row. We've got you today, tomorrow, and for decades to come. Visit HughesFCU.org, insured by NCUA.
The Old Pueblo is a place with a lot of great stories to tell. You can find all episodes of the Tucson History Podcast from 1030 The Voice at KVOI.com, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts. From the 1967 food giant jet crash to legendary Arizona coach Fred Snowden to the tales of Tucson's days as a Confederate capital, the Tucson History Podcast from 1030 The Voice is concise and always entertaining. Download them now at Google Play, Apple Podcasts, and KVOI.com.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez. And on the phone, we have former Major Leaguer and World Series champion Ron Hassey. Go ahead, Jay.
So, Ron, if I ask you some questions about, you know, winning the World Series, will you then answer some questions about the one you lost the year before?
Well, you're talking about to the Dodgers?
Yeah.
Well, he's a Dodger fan.
I grew up a Dodger fan, Ron. I don't know. Let me ask you this. You grew up here in Tucson. Were you a Dodger fan as a kid?
No, not really.
No? Okay, because I was, but because we had him on the radio.
San Diego.
Yeah, but since we had him on the radio here, that's why I was a Dodger fan.
Yeah. Well, that year, gosh, we had such a great – those 3 years going to the World Series, all three teams were really good.
Oh, yeah.
We just – that first series against the Dodgers, they just got hot at the right time. And any time in a short series like that, anything can happen.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, I was a huge Dodger fan. So, I mean, I watched those games and I would pace the whole time. So that'll tell you how much of a fan I was. And I actually went to the first two games of the NLCS when they played the Mets. I went to those two games, but I couldn't go to the World Series because I was covering Arizona football at the time. So, I couldn't make it to those games. But my brother was at the, you know, at game one. So, okay, so I just got to ask you, you know, you had a front row seat to that. You know, what did it look like from where you sat in terms of, you know, when Kirk Gibson hit that home run?
Well, you know, the count got to 3-2, you know, and we went with the breaking ball down and away, and he just left it up over the plate a little bit, and he smacked it pretty good, and that was it.
I mean, do you remember the sound of it? You know, the sound of the crowd and the whole thing? You know, I mean, does that stick in your mind?
For, you know, 9 innings, the crowd goes crazy. But it was a little shocker to see that happen. You know, and you've heard so many different stories about, well, you know, Kirk Gibson knew that on 3-2 that Dennis Eckersley's going to throw a break in.
Right.
Tell me, during the course of a season, how many times did Dennis Eckersley ever get to 3-2 on a batter?
Right.
Maybe a handful?
Yeah.
That's about it. He's always ahead and never really goes 3-2 counts.
Right,
but,
right.
So, you know, that made a great story. Tony sort of made a good big deal out of it. But,
so, okay.
You know, that was the first game of of the series, you know. But it was just we just did not perform that well.
Yeah, I mean, so how did they beat you guys? I mean, well, you know, Mickey Hatcher's playing left field for them. Franklin Stubbs is at first base. I mean, that's not, you know, Jose Canseco and Mark McGuire, right?
Right. You know, it's just, you know, short series like that, anything can happen. Yeah. You look at the 76 baseball team, and you look at the players on that team, and then you look at the 1974 team, and you say, how could the 74 team ever lose again?
Right.
And then you look at the 76, and we end up winning the World Series.
Yeah.
And you look at that that roster of guys on the 76 team, you look at that. I'm not the only guy from Tucson on that team. We had a lot of players from Tucson on that team. You look at, you know, Jim Schwanke was on that team. Bruce Ferguson was on that team. Don Harkis was on that team. Perry Armstrong was on the team. Al Lopez was on.
Yeah.
I played with Al in Tucson.
A whole bunch of guys.
Yeah, you know, this team was not just made up of a lot of guys from out of state. A lot of guys from the Tucson area were on this team. So it's Richard Stagg was on the team. It was a strong team, and we worked very well together. We had some ups and downs during the season, but there was a lot of superstars on that team. We just played really well together.
So how much did what happened in 88 lead to what you guys did in 89? I mean, you sweep the World Series. Okay, you had to sit down for an earthquake for a little while, but you know, you come out and you just blast everybody. You sweep the World Series, and you're champs.
Yeah, confidence right there. The Giants never even beat us in spring training a game. So you know, we were pretty high going into that series, knowing that they never had it. But you know, spring training, you know, you've seen a lot of different players, but it didn't matter in spring training. They could have 5-6 run lead going the last inning. We end up coming back and beating these guys. So.
Yeah.
Well, our confidence is pretty high playing these guys.
When you look back at your career, what do you think?
I look back at the career. You know, I always go back to my days in college where I really enjoyed playing baseball, and I enjoyed it playing in the major leagues. It became a job, really, in the major leagues, mm-hmm. but it still was a game. Things that I have accomplished, college World Series, even the high school state champion, and then playing in the World Series also. But
undefeated state champion, right?
I think it was a pretty good career. I would like to say that if I would have worked a little bit harder, it might have been a little better. But you always look back on it.
You played 14 years. I mean, that's pretty darn good. I mean, from where we sit, I mean, you know, there's a lot of guys who don't have 14-year careers.
In a tough spot, in a tough position.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe I was a left-handed hitter. That helped out quite a bit. Everybody was looking for a right-handed and a left-handed hitting catcher. So that helped me out quite a bit in my career. You know, at the beginning of my career, I was not very good as a defensive catcher, but late in my career, I was considered a better defensive catcher than I was a hitter. I was a better hitter at the beginning of my career than at the end. But I look back and I said, I've accomplished a lot in baseball.
You did.
No question.
You
no
absolutely
question.
Did.
You're the Hasse name, too, is a legacy at the U of A. Your dad played, right, and you played, and your son played.
Right.
How cool was that to have your son follow like that, play at the U of A? He also played some professional baseball. How cool is that for a dad?
It was very special for me, and it was really special for my dad because he was able to go see my son play at the U of A. My son ended up signing with Toronto. He got to AAA and realized that was probably going to be the farthest he was going to go. So He retired after about 4 years in the minor leagues. But yeah, it was. I was very proud of him to, you know, sign a minor league contract and work his way up to Triple A.
Yeah, he almost got there. So let me ask you, because I've had this conversation a number of times. You know, when somebody's a major league baseball player and they're good enough to be a major league baseball player, at a very young age, they kind of show. I mean, were you the kid that dominated in Little League and some of the, you know, even before you got to high school, you know, how good were you compared to the kids you were playing against?
Well, you know, I would say I had a lot of success growing up in Little League, Pony League, Colt League, American Legion teams, semi-pro teams here in town, and always a pretty good hitter, so that helped out. And I think that just, you know, it helped me have confidence in myself. And then, you know, the coaching staffs that I've worked with, Jim Wing at the U of A and Jerry Kindle, I mean, those guys there, and Mark Johnson, they were outstanding. They would help you out anytime you need any type of help. Even after I got done playing at the U of A, they even helped me.
So a friend of mine just texted me, said he was playing. You were at, let's see, you were at Mansfield, and he was at Ross Grudge. Says he was pitching against you, had two strikes on you, and then you hit a fastball to the Tucson High football field.
and also we won junior high.
How close is that?
High, we were high school champion. I mean, in junior high, we I don't think we won, lost a game in junior high.
Well, well.
I can picture that right there, because Ross Grudge is right across the street. So
yeah, that's right.
So, but that's what, you know, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I've seen some kids that, you know, seen them in Little League, like Rodney Pete. I saw him as an athlete playing Little League baseball, and you could tell just as an athlete he was way past everybody. Another kid that ended up playing in the NFL and played against my son, his name was Jeff Toole, and then, you know, J.J. Hardy played in Sabino Canyon Little League where my kid played. So you just, those kids were, you know, were different from everybody else. That's what I was asking, if you kind of felt like you were that guy, you know, at that age, at the 11, 12, 13-year-old age.
Well, you know, you, like I said, you're having success, and you're one of the better players on the team, and you just keep working at it. You know, my goal was to go to the University of Arizona on a baseball scholarship, and that worked out pretty well. So, then I really wanted to get drafted, and was never a high draft pick, but I did make it, so happy about that.
So after all these years, who was the best player you played with or maybe against?
You mean in a college team?
In the pros or whatever.
Anywhere. I mean, just the guy that you thought. Yeah.
I would tell you right now the best player that I played against, and I didn't get to play that much against him, but Ken Griffey Jr.
Oh, okay.
By far, he had all the tools. You know, he could play defense. He was above average defender. He could throw. He could run. He could hit for power. He could hit for average. He can drive and runs.
And he could run.
Right. And he's a that's a superstar.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Not a lot of those guys around.
A lot of good players that could hit home runs, but, you know, really didn't play that well defense. And Don Mattingly was real close to him. I played with him when he won he was MVP that year. You know, he played great defense at first base. Really couldn't run that well, but, you know, hit for power and drove in runs. Ryan Sandberg was another one that was an all-around type player. You know, when you look at certain players, you look at McGuire, power hitter, 50, 60 home runs a year, drives in a lot of runs. Defensively, he was an average defender, couldn't really run. And then you look at guys like Griffey, who was in a different league, because he could do it all.
I got one more for you, one more memory to go through. Again, as a Dodger fan, I was in L.A. Well, actually, I was in San Diego, sitting on a beach, listening to Dennis Martinez's perfect game that you caught. That would have been your last year in the bigs. Honestly, what is it like when you're starting to get to the end of a game like that? What, you know, the tension, the pressure, or do you guys just kind of stay away from it? I mean, how you're handling the pitcher. How does that work?
Well, you know, it was, you know, I caught one before that, 10 years before
right.
that, Lenny Barker. And I really didn't even realize that we had a perfect game with Lenny, even after it was over with, because Lenny used to walk four or five batters a game. He was a real hard thrower. Control was below average. But with Dennis, you know, in about the fifth inning, I started realizing, you know, well, he's really hitting his spots. We're keeping the hitters off balance. In between innings, you know, I might say something to him about certain hitters, you know, what I'm seeing. I didn't stay away from him by any means. There was always communication going on just to let him know what I was seeing. When we got into the, I think it was the eighth inning, I told our pitching coach, hey, you're going to see something special today. And it did happen.
He was,
you know, Dennis Martinez was a real pitcher. He had good command of his pitches. He wasn't overpowering. He had to keep hitters off balance. Had a good breaking ball, but he didn't throw 94, 95.
Right.
He was Dennis like 88 to 90 at tops. But he was a control type pitcher.
Well, Ron.
This has been great, Ron.
Yeah, thanks a bunch.
This has been a lot of fun. Love talking about this stuff. And look, you had a great career because you played 14 years in the big league. So I hope you always think that. And you know, and then from being from Tucson, I'm a Tucson guy. You know, you're one of those guys on the, you know, on the Mount Rushmore of local baseball guys. So I'll just say that to you because it you know, I had fun watching you in college and watching you in the pros. And I'm sorry you were on the wrong end of that home run, but you know, every time I see the highlight, I said, "Hey, there's Ron."
You can see me every year.
Every time.
During the World Series.
Hey, but Ron, they haven't had success since that night.
Yeah, and we're still waiting for another one, Ron, so there you go.
That's the curse.
Hey, thanks so much, Ron. We do appreciate you taking all this time with us.
Got to have you back if you have time. Thanks so much, Ron.
Sure.
Let's take a break here on 1030 The Voice.
Time to update those old kitchen cabinets? Call the Window Depot today. The Window Depot is not only the number one warehouse for windows and doors, we now have a great selection of kitchen and bath cabinets at Tucson's best prices. The Window Depot is Tucson's top spot for granite and quartz countertops to finish the new kitchen or the replacement of that old worn out Formica. So call us today at 290-8545 or 622-6430. The Window Depot, windows, doors, granite, and new kitchens.
There's a place in our house.
For 70 years, Benjamin Supply has been keeping Tucson flowing. Hygiene is our business. We help you achieve extreme clean. Minimize germ spreading with a hands-free sensor faucet. Forget the paper panic with a washlet seat. And speaking of waterworks, a big thanks to plumbers for their essential efforts during this health crisis. Shop our downtown showroom by appointment. Call us at 777-7000 or see all the products online at BenjaminSupply.com.
Thanks to Benjamin Plumbing Supply.
Hey, welcome back to Why on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez. Jay, just a quick observation. Now I know how I get when I have like Baffert and you got giddy today. You get all giddy.
Well, here's what's cool about that. And I love talking to the local guys, because they grew up
in
the neighborhoods, you know, where I grew
totally
up. People that I know them. You know, I got this text message from my friend Larry Lucero, who talked about pitching against him in junior high and watching him hit a ball to Tucson High.
You're talking 1968.
Yeah. You know, Larry played against him in junior high in 1968. You know, and then he started running off all these guys that were on, you know, that he played college baseball with, who went to my high school.
Yeah. No, it's funny because Larry probably says, I pitched against a guy. He hit the ball a mile, but, you know.
But I pitched against him, you know, and probably at that time he felt bad about how far he hit that ball. Then again, sometimes somebody hits one so far, you just kind of give him a little golf clap and give him a nod and tip of the cap. But, you know, when we have a guest like that that's got history in our community, that is the coolest thing for me. Because, you know, I'm so embedded in this community. I love it. I've always loved it. I know the history of it. And when you talk about these guys who are really legends here, I mean, think about Ron Hassey.
Mm-hmm.
He was on an undefeated state championship baseball team at Tucson High. He was on a College World Series winning team. On top of that, he was on what I think should be, even though they didn't win the World Series, probably the best Arizona baseball team ever. They go 56-4. They lost four games.
Northern Colorado, how did that happen?
They lost four games in the regular season. They win two games in a WAC playoff to get to go to the playoffs. So they play basically a regional. And they've got to go play a three-game series against Northern Colorado. They played it in Colorado for some reason. And they lose two games in a row, and they're out.
Wow.
So they lose six games in a baseball season, an entire year, and they don't even get to the College World Series. That was arguably the best team ever.
Uh-huh.
And then two years later, they come back and they win the World Series when they absolutely should not have.
So what happened in 75?
They were kind of middling. They were good, but they weren't great. They didn't get to the World Series. They didn't get to the playoffs. But then they come back and they put it all together and boom. And boom. Here, I just got another text from my brother Gene. He played against Ron Hassey in high school and semi-pro. So that's what that's why I love talking about a guy like that. With a guy like that, because they bring such history.
I would say this is how I must get with Baffert and those guys that I care, I feel close to.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, I was putting down a list. Hassey today, we had Francona,
right.
We had Steve Kerr,
right.
We had Baffert, like we said, we had Mick Johnson, some of the guests that were able to pull off. It's fantastic. In my mind, I'm not trying to toot our horn.
Right.
But that's kind of a lot of fun.
They're fun. Yeah. They're fun. And these guys, they love coming and talking and reminiscing, and they've had great careers. And, he let me ask him about what I'm sure was a really painful experience to watch that home run, but the great thing about that is, for instance, if you've ever seen Dennis Eckersley talk about that home run, he's more than willing to talk about it and talk about what happened and give Kirk Gibson all the props for doing that. But when you think about that moment in time as a sports fan, now my brother Ed was at the game. He still talks about that. Every time we talk about it, he texts me. I was at the Kirk Gibson game. I wasn't at that game because there was Arizona
football.
I remember it like yesterday. They were playing Washington State at home. I'm the beat writer, and I've got one of those little 2-inch TV screens that I've got an earpiece. So I'm covering the game. I'm watching the Dodger game, and that's how I saw the home run.
Yeah.
I'm a Dodger fan to end all Dodger fans, and I saw the Kirk Gibson home run on a 2-inch, one of those little 2-inch TV screens that were the first to come out. That's how I saw the home run. And I remember it happened, and I stood up in the press box, and it was the old press box, not the new press box. It was the last year of the old press box, so you could barely fit. And I yelled through for the whole press box to hear, Kirk Gibson just hit a homer to win the game. And all the writers came and crowded around this little 2-inch TV to see the replay. And I'm like, I know the guy behind me can't see this. But I turned up the volume so everybody could hear. So everything stopped in the press box to see this moment in history that happened, that at that moment, we still didn't realize what a big moment in history it was. But when I said Kirk Gibson just hit a homer to beat the A's, all of a sudden everybody realized this was big.
Yeah, no question. Good show today. A lot of fun. Reminiscing.
It's
and you talked about we ran the gamut on a number of different things.
It's been fun. Yeah, Tom's putting on the video of it. Tom, I know I know Vin Scully's words by heart on this one. So,
we also don't know when we're coming out of this segment if Tom doesn't put our clock.
Tom, we need our clock.
We need a clock.
The whole. The whole thing of these guys who have had this time of their lives that in a lot of ways were important to us.
Sure, because you remember.
Watching Ron Hassey, help win the College World Series. That was a big deal to me, as a high school kid here in Tucson. Watching, the Dodgers, beat the A's in the World Series. Again, another big deal to me, as a little older guy. And then, then for him to say how special it was for him to see his kid go on and play at the U of A. And what a big deal, it was to see.
For his dad.
For him and his dad to see his son Brad make his way through and then actually even play professional baseball. All those things. And those are the things that make sports So oh, great.
No question, especially so for a great. Father, for a grandfather.
And why, dang it, we need to get sports started again to have these kinds of moments.
Don't hold your hopes out too
I
hard.
Am.
I'm sorry to bring be the grim reaper
I'm
on that.
I'm holding it. You know what? We're going into a weekend. We're hoping, you know, we can turn the corner on this thing and, you know, good things start to happen again. But, you know, I'm not going to leave on a downer. I loved the interview.
Yeah,
I loved having Ron Hasse on. And you know, we're going to keep bringing those kinds of guests here because those are the fun things.
Right.